Good morning, all. Running just a little bit late, not paying enough attention, and then I get up here and get awfully forgetful. Do any of you get forgetful? I was worried about that, and I went and I bought some memory insoles for my shoes, and it hasn't helped even a bit. Maybe my feet remember more. I don't know, but there's where we are. On the back of the bulletin, you see we have a few things going on. We have a birthday party coming up this coming week on July 4th. As I understand it, we have a birthday of these United States. Amen? Amen. Happy birthday to us and to all of that and everything going on. The office will be closed on the Monday, this coming Monday, as the holiday falls kind of in the middle of the week, but Paya and I have to party sometime, so, you know, we're going to take off Monday, so we won't be in the office. Any other things that we need to be aware of by way of announcements for the calendar? Debbie Gunther, please, tell us about missions.
Good morning. First off, last month, June's crop fundraiser raised, we got $82 from it, so thank you very much. July's will be on July 17th at Legends, and it's all day. I'll have flyers out next week. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, those who went and consumed and donated and for the gifts of the work, and Deb for coordinating our missions, for the Women's Society and the work they do coordinating our mission stuff as well. I'm waiting to see if Debbie Gunther has another announcement and coordinate that. Okay, no. Richard, do you have your hand? Yes, please, Richard, tell us about. Take us out to the ball.
I see in my bulletin, there's an article, Batter Up, so hopefully everybody got that. If you didn't, let me know.
Okay, but and for
I
those
just want to point out that August 3rd is the Faith Day for the Rockies, and at least 2 weeks ahead of that, I have to clear everything with the Colorado Rockies. So if you're interested, I need you to be signing up.
Okay, yeah, get your stuff to Richard. And those of you joining us online, and we greet you, and sorry we're running a little bit late this morning. That was my fault. But for Faith Day at the Rockies, as Richard said, August 3rd, get with us and join other churches as we come and gather for Faith Day at the Rockies. Other announcements? Anything else for the good of the order? If not, let's stand, wave hello to one another, and let us turn to our call to worship.
The call to worship. Oh God, as a deer longs for flowing streams, our souls long for you. Our souls thirst for the living God. When shall we come and behold the face of God? By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with us. Oh, sing out your light and your truth. Let them lead us and bring us to your holy hill dwelling. Our hope is in God. We shall praise him,
our hope and our God.
Please remain standing for the opening hymn. Lift every voice in the pew hymnal, page 519.
So in your hymnals, tell us the hymn number again.
Page 519.
519, all right. Thank you, Melba, for pausing for me.
Amen. Please be seated for the first scripture reading. 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 4, 5 through 7, 8 through 15. It can be found in the Pew Bible, page 311. Word of the God, word of the Lord. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the God do to me and more also, if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, get up and eat. He looked, and there at his head was a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, get up and eat, or the journey will be too much for you. He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you might know, last week we had our vacation Bible school, so James got the Sunday off. So I thought I would double up the scripture, give him a little extra for this Sunday. Thank you, James, and doing a great job. On the back of the bulletin, you see some of our updates. Stephanie, can you update us on your niece, Kelsey, in Bolivia?
So she's still there for a couple more weeks.
Thank
she's
you
doing
for.
Well. Yes, she's doing
okay,
well.
But she's doing well, and we hope to see her back soon. Okay. Holly Armstrong did come and assist a little bit with Vacation Bible School. It was good to see her. We hope that we will see her as she is recovering. Others, are there others that you would, Ruella, please.
Our son, Kurt, and his family are now in England, visiting for almost a month. So prayers for their safety and their return, and have a good time, which might be difficult with a two-year-old. But those prayers for them, please.
The joys of having a two-year-old are better many years later, and viewed in retrospect. Other concerns in our midst? Want to be aware of. I haven't heard of anything horrible, tragic, what have you. Joys, do you have joys that you would like to share this morning? Special things that have been matters of grace or just celebrations in your life? I have to tell you, I have a mixed blessing going on at my home. I I fertilized my lawns, but now I have to mow them twice as often. I'm not sure. That was kind of a mixed blessing there. They look better, but it is a kind of one of those. I don't see anybody else with their hands up. We hope that you're celebrating, enjoying this beautiful summertime, and that you enjoy the upcoming 4th of July safely, and that you get some sleep if ever the fireworks quit during the middle of the night. By way of birthdays and anniversaries, Monday, Debbie Gunther has a birthday. Is that true, Ms. Debbie Gunther? Do you want us to tell your age or just say that you're old enough to know better? There we go. Okay. Mark and Ellen Doctor are celebrating an anniversary. Do you both agree on how many years it's been? Plenty. Okay, good. We're glad to hear that. Ruby Munson has a birthday on July 4th, born on the 4th of July. Happy birthday, Miss Ruby. She's going to be 33. Oh, wait, maybe she was born in 2033. No, wait, that's not 1933. Happy birthday, Miss Ruby. Steelciana McConey has a birthday next Sunday. Is that true, Paya? Are we checking in and keeping an eye on everybody? All right. Michael, we've got a hand down here.
Carol
Danielson has something. She's
besides donuts?
Yeah, besides donuts. My daughter, Lori, also celebrates her birthday on the 4th of July.
I knew there was somebody else. I don't know how that didn't end up on my list. All right. And she's going to be 11, right?
63.
How much?
63.
No, that's not possible. You would have had to have her when you were negative 20. All right. Happy birthday to Lori.
Sixty-two.
So we got it corrected there. All right, Brother Jim is standing up. Is that? Have you got your hand up, Jim? Or are you just listening?
He's what's the news on? Comment.
My grandson Gemini, which most of you might remember, Tuesday he left for the Air Force. He's going in to be an air traffic controller. That's his skill.
Amen.
Pretty good job.
Yeah, and much needed. Some new blood needed in that. Thank you, Jim.
And I miss him every day.
Thank you. Laura, please. Laura Weller.
It's also Sydney's birthday on July 1st.
This is the first I'd had that one, 7. Okay, happy birthday, Sydney. All right, others. Celebrations in our midst, celebrations of things growing, of water, of moisture. We've had more moisture where I believe Colorado is mostly out of drought. Some places are into flood, but that's another story as well. So anyway, anything else by way of prayers? All right. Let's turn to our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. O God, hear our prayer. Lord, we know and have seen your goodness, and because of it, we cling to the hope that unity and liberation for all are within our grasp. Continue to show us your goodness. Bless us that we may have the strength to advance your kingdom with humility and grace. Let's take a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Precious, loving Lord, we are humbled to be in your gathering this morning, to have you join us and to pause amidst this weekend this week of celebration to pause celebrating our birthday as a nation, to pause and acknowledge your gift to us as guidance and inspiration for the way you have inspired those who have led, who founded our country, who developed democracy and government and the Constitution, who built a nation. We are grateful, Lord, that you are with our nation. We ask that you bless it every day. You grow us in your grace, and that we follow you, and that the actions of us as a nation reflect your guidance, your love, your care, your compassion, your generosity. And we ask that you bless each of us. We've lifted our prayers before you, our some of our individual prayers. We know that there are others, prayers offered in silence that you hear, that you know, and to which you respond. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for gathering with us and for blessing us in the ways that you have, for giving us calmness, for settling us, for giving us stability and a rock upon which to stand. And Lord, when we have become complacent, for unsettling us, for disrupting us out of our settledness until true justice and true compassion and true love of our neighbors is the law of the land. Continue to guide us, Lord, and inspire us, and help us reach out to one another, to brothers and sisters, all of your children gathered. And hear us, Lord, as we gather with all of those brothers and sisters around the world and praying the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite Melba with an offertory.
God bless Melba. Thank you. Thank you so very much. Second scripture reading comes from the New Testament, book of Galatians, chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. You can remain sitting.
Stand or not, it's up to you. Well, it's not a gospel lesson. But
oh. Stand or remain standing or sit. Depends how the Spirit moves you.
We can stand for an epistle, yeah, all right.
Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be reckoned as righteous by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. It's now time for VBS video.
Yep.
Invite all participants to participate.
Yes, we're supposed to do that. We forgot to. All right, let's do that after this. How's that sound? We're going to do noise. We completely forgot Noisy Sunday. We'll do that if you have any coins or change or something to donate, get that out during the VBS song so that the kids can gather that. All right, or the ushers can help. Thank you. Thank you, young people. Ego I may. Now, how are we going to, do you have buckets? And they're all the way in the back, of course. All right. They did a great job with VBS. I don't know if you saw it, but they had a whole barnyard set up here, barn and everything, and they got it all cleaned out. They even shoveled out the stalls, you know. You know, that was always the job that I hated the worst. Was the... All right. Anybody else with gifts to offer up, let Stephanie know. The money goes to support our youth program and our youth, and so we are grateful. There were three scriptures this Sunday. That's what confused us with that middle scripture. But anyway, James.
Please stand, for, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Only 1 through 3?
Only 1 through 3.
I'll wait here for a while. The word of the Lord. Soon afterwards, Jesus went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, as well as some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Thank you, James. I have more of a science background than an English one. I do speak two languages, English and bad English. One of the terms, and I looked it up to double check that I got the right term, it's hyperbole. Now, those of you in math backgrounds know what a hyperbola is. It's a curve arced, it's a conic section. It has to do with the equation xy equal 1. Don't need to go into all of that unless you want to remember all of your high school geometry. But this is not hyperbola, this is hyperbole. And if I get this right, those of any English majors in here, I might be okay then. All right. Hyperbole is like saying, I told you 1,000 times. You might not have actually told somebody 1,000 times, but it feels like, and you told them a lot of times. That's hyperbole, okay? My mom used to say, come hell or high water. That was, it wasn't really the equation of high water or hell that was coming on, but with unless something impedes our ability, we will proceed. Have you ever heard that one? In the Bible, there is hyperbole. One of the most common ones, and you know that, is 40 days and 40 nights. Have you ever heard that phrase in the Bible? You remember hearing about that one? Moses went up onto Mount Sinai, which is also Mount Horeb, by the way. You saw that in the scripture. Elijah went up onto Mount Horeb. Horeb, Sinai, same mountain. We're not 100% sure where it is, but some people claim they have it. Don't worry about all of that. Hyperbole, 40 days, 40 nights, Moses was up there. 40 days, Jesus was in the wilderness. It's the whole amount of necessary time. However long it took to get the task done, the Lord flooded the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Made it rain, flooded the earth. Enough time to completely flood the earth, okay? The flood. So it's hyperbole. There is a hyperbole that we rarely address or hear or understand like the Hebrews do, and that is the phrase from Dan to Beersheba. Dan is in the very northern part of the nation, and Beersheba is down at the bottom. I had to get to the side of the pulpit, you see that? It's all the way at the bottom before you get out into desert. It's the all of civilization. So here is Elijah, and he traveled from Dan to Beersheba. He traveled the whole way across the known world, if you will. It's like what we would phrase, and we might sing that sometime this summer. From Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Remember that? It's not really defining some particular route. It's, what does it mean? The whole nation. The whole thing. That's hyperbole. Elijah went a day's journey beyond Beersheba, into the Negev desert. A day's journey out in nothing there. Have you ever been to Death Valley? Any of you? It's hot. It's arid. There's nothing there, really. This is like the Negev desert. Actually, Grand Junction, where it's not irrigated, is high desert as well. But that's another story. We won't go down that path. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He has gone all the way beyond civilization and then some. And he's in the middle of nowhere. He is there, and it is the end of the world, and he sits down and he gives up. Did you hear that in the scripture? You remember Jezebel is trying to kill him. He has been in contest with her. The people have turned to Jezebel and her multitude of prophets. And yet, Elijah has defeated them in word and deed. And now she has vowed to kill him. And he is afraid and he runs. And he sits under the broom tree and he gives up and he says, "It is enough now, Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." He's giving up. He's tired. And this is the great prophet Elijah. If you are a student of the Old Testament, there are heroes and great personalities. Can you name some of those in the Old Testament? Moses. How about Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel and Elijah? And Elisha. These are the great people. These are the heroes. And this is Elisha sitting under the broom tree, giving up. He has run beyond the world into the desert. He has run, and he's sitting under this tree, the only bit of shade probably for hundreds of miles. I give up. I've had it. Have you ever felt like that? I remember at some point in college kind of feeling like that. It was trying to finish all my finals and trying to get everything done and work and all the stuff that I had to do all at once, and I just felt completely and totally overwhelmed. I didn't want to give up. I didn't want to die, but I felt pretty well spent. Have you felt like that? Have you felt like that where you're just... you're beyond all of your energy and reserves? Over the courses of our lives, we might experience that at different times. Sometimes there are tragedies that happen within our families. A car accident very nearly killed my sister. It was a very hard time. COVID took my daughter, Corinne. It was a hard and painful moment. Different times in our lives when just awful things have happened. Maybe you've experienced some of those with loss or with medical bills or with that dreaded word, cancer. There are reasons when life overwhelms us. And it comes and it happens and it hurts. Those are personal and local. There are also societal things that go on. I have had to limit the amount of news I watch. I'm beginning to feel like Simon and Garfunkel. You remember their song? It says, "I get the news I need in the weather report." Do you remember that song? As a kid, I remember thinking, why does he not want to hear anything but the weather? And now I get it. I understand. The more news I hear, the less I want to hear the news. There's a lot of struggle going on. Although there are signs of peacemaking, there are signs of de-escalation. God willing, they will continue. Amen? God willing. God willing. And we keep praying. But I do feel like that sometimes. I want to just say, that's enough. I'll just turn on the weather and I'll ignore everything else going on because, Lordy. And yet we can't. We are Christian people, and Christ didn't teach us to just give up. Christ didn't teach us to just sit down and say, well, it's too bad, give it up to the Lord and get a cold glass of lemonade and forget about it. He took his disciples. He said, go out into the world, two by two. Don't even take food with you. Depend upon the hospitality of those that you go and you greet and meet. And if they don't greet you, just wipe the dust from your saddles and go on. But he sent them out into the world. Go and make disciples. Moses went and he got the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, brought them down from Yahweh to the Israelites. And the Ten Commandments, those commandments, and then Jesus gave us the new commandment. Love God. Love God with everything you've got, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, your energy, your time, your IRAs, your whatever you can do to help God and help God's work on this earth. Give everything you can to God and love your neighbors. Those are what we're called to do, not to just sit back. I reflect on our membership vows. We got to do a membership vow just recently. We brought Linda into our congregation. Do you remember we asked a question and asked it of her, to which she agreed? And then we have reaffirmed our vow. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? This one always slays me because I see evil and injustice and oppression, and I see it in the world, and I think, I can't do anything about that. I am just one person. What can I do? How can I possibly make a change? I feel powerless, and the phrase, do you accept the power that God gives you to resist? I have to stop and think, okay. What has God given me? Where is God giving me? Where is God urging me? Where is God directing me and empowering me? But there are times that we feel tired, and we are like Elijah. We are ready to get underneath the broom tree and just say, I'm done. I can commiserate with him. And a matter of fact, I'm kind of thinking, I give me that broom tree, I'm ready. I might have one put in my backyard, just put it right under my awning back there in my easy chair. And I'll just sit under my broom tree. Kind of has an appeal to it, doesn't it? But this angel comes to Elijah and gives him food and drink. And he sleeps and he wakes and feeds him again because he needed that sustenance to go on for 40 days and 40 nights. Hyperbole. Go on for the rest of the job that he was about to do. To go on and fulfill the mission that he was called to. To do on and rise to the power, the energy, the voice, the utterance that God had given him. I love that phrase, God comes in the quiet, the still small voice. And Elijah pauses and listens and hears. We understand how it can feel to be overwhelmed. And there are people that come and talk to me that are overwhelmed, and I understand, and I can commiserate. But I have to remind them, God has not forgotten about us. God is not done with us. Like Elijah sitting under the tree, God will sustain us and feed us and carry us, because there's more to be done. We are a Wesleyan church, a Methodist church. And method refers to John Wesley and his strange method of being in worship. He and his group of people at Oxford, they had a strange way of worshiping. And they had this method to their madness. And people called them Bible moths and all kinds of names. And Methodist was one of the names they called them. And it wasn't meant to be a compliment, but it stuck. Because there's a method about what we're about. But John Wesley, the one that led this and that established this and that has spawned multitudes of denominations. John Wesley was appointed to a church. Did you know that? He didn't always just teach and what have you, and he was an Anglican priest, and he got appointed to a church in the colonies of these United States. It was a miserable appointment. It was a total failure. He had to leave under cover of darkness to prevent himself from being tarred and feathered. Now, that's a pastor that is just not well accepted by a congregation. And he got back to England, and boy, was he down in the dumps. He was dispirited, and he was under a broom tree. He didn't have anything to do with anybody or anything. He didn't preach. He didn't study. He just sat under that broom tree. Said, "Lord, it is enough. I'm done." Some friends came to him and said, "Say, we're going to this Bible reading. Come with us." And he told them, "No, I don't want to go out there." Now, I'm paraphrasing in English the language and the tonality and the phrasing would all have been different. You understand. But he really didn't want to go, but they insisted. The food and nourishment that they were giving him, they forced it on him in a way. And he went and he heard a reading out of the Bible. And an angel of the Lord was there speaking to him somehow through that. I've read the passage. I don't remember. It's in Romans, I think, somewhere. Romans? Anybody remember? And I've read it a couple times, and it doesn't do a thing for me whatsoever. But for John Wesley, it was the food and the nourishment and the water that he needed for that next 40 days and 40 nights. And he went on from there. And he came back to doing what God had called him to do. He came back to do that ministry that he had been called to. And we are a church here, partly because of the works he did. Not a perfect fellow. I mean, to have a ministry go that far wrong, he made a lot of mistakes. And that's neither here nor there. But God was with him in what he called him to do and what he called him to preach, and in his letters, his sermons, and in this strange method that we have. God did not forget John Wesley. God did not give up on John Wesley. God does not forgive us, doesn't forget us, doesn't give up on us, continues to nourish us, guide us, and inspire us to go there, to go and do 40 days and 40 nights even. You feeling tired? You feeling like you just want to turn just to the weather report? I understand. God is with us. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing. chose this hymn kind of wondering and thinking about that theme. This is number 2051 in your Faith We Sing. Stand, if you will, and are comfortable doing so.
You can find it in your Faith We Sing book, 2051. I was born to hear your morning cry. Hi, Melba.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Melba. She's been filling in this summer for us, and your gifts and your graces are appreciated. We are gifted and graced and filled with the Spirit. Sometimes there are a few of us with enough Spirit to share for many. I'm not looking at any of these young people intently, but that's neither here nor there. We have that Spirit, and even when we grow weary, God is with us. In the name of God and the Son and the Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for God's gifts. Carry them into the world. Amen?
Amen.
Let's join our hands and sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.